been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Guys, it is time. The preseason is upon us. Mere hours away. The preseason, the first preseason game of the new season will be here. Ravens football, the bank is going to be rocking. Everything is going on. So to join me, as always, to get me ready for this, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
How much, man? Just getting ready for the season. Dude, we're right here. We're week one of the preseason, man. One of four games. This is upon us. Dude, I can't wait to be down there, man. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to go. I am going to be going to the first game, the first preseason game. I am very excited. I just got some tickets. Thank you to my friend Stacy and Michelle for giving me their tickets. I'm super excited to go check out the game. But let's get right into it. So, I want to start off the show with something that's kind of a mystery right now to the Ravens and the fan base and everybody else. You got really excited because the Ravens hired Austin Howard, who was let go by the Raiders last week before, something like that. He still hasn't trained at all in training camp, and I mean, it doesn't look like he's going to be at the preseason game. What do you think's going on with him? You think it might be like a medical thing? He's not cleared. Is it something else? Because it's weird to like sign a guy, have everyone get excited. He's going to be a part of the O-line, and then nowhere to be seen. It's like they're hiding him under a rock or something.
It's right, and I've yet to dig up any dirt on this man. This has not gained traction. It's one of these black hole mysteries. I don't see anything. And to my knowledge, he passed his physical. So whether I don't know, because to my knowledge, I've seen players jump right in. I mean, Macklin was signed. He got, you know, reported to camp. But obviously, he was signed weeks ago. But being that we just brought in somebody, I mean, he should be in the starting mix. I don't see any reason why they're holding him back. I don't see any injuries. Beat writers who are, you know, the paid professionals, obviously, they didn't find anything. So, obviously, I haven't found anything. And it's really a head scratch right now. I'm concerned. I'll be concerned after week two of the preseason if he's not starting anywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, this offense is being, you know, kept together with duct tape and everything. This is definitely not the offense that a lot of people or even the coaches thought they were going to have to start off the preseason. But I just found that kind of funny that he got signed. It's a 3-year deal and he's a no-show. So I have to assume, I mean, yeah, this guy he's been with other teams and he's played a couple years, but I would assume that he would need some time to adjust and acclimate to the other players on the field, to the type of plays, the words, I mean, the language there. I feel like he's missing some really big things.
I think so too, man. And I mean, the clock's ticking. I mean, if he wants to get in and get acclimated to the offense, get acclimated to the line play, right now he's obviously going to be a starting mix right there in Magyanda. It is concerning. I can't say pretty much other than I'm going to monitor it. Obviously, if any news breaks throughout the days, in the coming days or even a week, we definitely will report it. But I expect him to be definitely lined up week one in Cincinnati in the line. I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I also want to bring this up because I brought up Austin Howard first to kind of segue into this. You know, we're talking about Austin Howard missing some time, getting acclimated to the new system. I want to say that Joe Flacco, he still hasn't played. We're not expecting him to play any of training camp or be a part of training camp, be a part of any of the preseason games, which really sucks. I hate not seeing Joe out there on the field. But I'm kind of thinking of, you know, last year when he had his he was coming back from his knee injury, and he missed really good quality time with Prashad Perryman, who we'll be talking about a little bit later. Because it took them until about like November, December to really get into a groove with each other, that they weren't really clicking. And a lot of people were saying it was that missed time in training camp. I kind of feel like that's going to be the same thing with Jeremy Maclin coming in brand new. He's going to miss some of the nuances that the team has. Do you think that Joe not being there is going to be affecting Macklin's game down the road?
It could. The chemistry wise, I know they got it a little bit when he was here. I mean, throwing balls to each other. I'm not sure what he's got under the belt there, Brandon, but it is going to be a concern with chemistry wise. Now, I mean, they're both all pros of what they do. I'm not concerned there. It's just, you really want to see him gel starting week one. You want to, you know, get the rhythms in there, get the offense. He knows it, but he knows the offensive scheme. I'm not really worrying about him being up to speed on that. Once he gets in, he gets in. Flacco will be starting week one as of right now. He got a second opinion on his back. The timetable is good for a positive return, even though they're not putting no timetable. They're putting it out there where he's going to start week one, the coaches feel otherwise. So we're going to heavily monitor the situation. But for chemistry, man, you definitely want Joe to be under center throwing the balls, because obviously Mallett's going to be a different quarterback, different size, throwing the ball differently, making reads. And, you know, when you're going to – and I can't speak for an NFL receiver on that one, but I would imagine it's got to be a big difference. It's not going to be a similar feel with the balls being thrown and how it's going to feel, you know, with the receivers out there and running routes. And it's a timing issue. A lot of the routes are run on timing, and Flacco gets to know that. And you hear a lot of quarterbacks talk about terminology. So it's just definitely going to be something to really, really, really keep a close eye on as well.
Now, I do want to bring up first preseason game this Thursday night. Ryan the Crab Mallett, he will be our starting quarterback. And a lot of people are reporting about how he has gotten much better in training camp. You know, those first couple days, people were talking about how shaky he was, and he threw 7 interceptions in the first weekend. But people are saying that he has improved immensely through this training camp, and that he can really make a statement on Thursday. What kind of statement do you think Ryan Mallett's going to make? Because obviously, I would assume it's not the statement of, I'm going to be the starting quarterback week one, but is it kind of like to calm the nerves of the fans, saying, look, I am a solid backup? What kind of statement is Ryan Mallett going to make on Thursday?
Well, he's going to make a statement that put the bed to rest, that we don't need to sign another backup quarterback, whoever it is. Let's just put that out there. I don't care. Again, it's 2 years ago. But we have to remember, he filled in when Joe Flacco got hurt against the Rams. The very next game was against the Steelers at home. An emotional win against the Steelers. I've been arguing with the fans about it in this coming weeks. Look, Ryan Mallett beat the Steelers. Charlie Batch beat the Ravens. Let's just call it what it is. So our backups, even third stringers, have beat each other up. So I'm confident with Mallett. I mean, he's had some he had a poor practice when we were there. But then I heard he had a strong showing in the days after that. What I want him to make a statement about is to come out, show confidence that, hey, he can be a solid backup in lieu of Joe going down with a back injury, that we can put the questions to rest, that we're not going to be looking elsewhere to sign somebody. If not, just talk about trying to get somebody that's seasoned, has been there and done that. But Mal's done that as well. You can't discount homegrown talent, what he can do. I'm not going to sit here and whine and complain that, oh, we're not going to the playoffs with Mal under center. I mean, you know, we won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer under center. Let's just keep that straight. And that Tony Banks started the year as well for us. And then again, you know, we don't have the 2000 defense on our field right now, and all the all pros, but we do have a great defense. Strong showing against our own little offense in camps, in practices. I've seen in the open practice last Sunday, defense just dominated. I hear Jimmy Smith and Tony Jefferson, man, they're owning it out there. They're getting in the pass rush. We got some studs in this defense. They're all healthy. It's going to be a top five, top three unit. So the Ravens, and always joked back in the days of 2000 and so, where the offense always joked that said they had to get better because they practice against the sharpest defense in the NFL. So you would think they'd be an all pro offense, but Ravens down the years, you know, we've never been the run and gun. Let's throw them 40 points a game. It's methodical. Run the football. It's AFC North typical. It's take care of the football. Don't turn a ball over. You need a 3rd and 10. Let's throw it down the middle to the tight end for 12 yards. First down, move the chains. If we need 3 yards on a run, let's run it to the right side and do a sweep. It's methodical football, and that's how it is. Move the chains. And long are the days to where if we score 10, 13, 17 points, game's over because we're limiting the teams to 7 and 10 points respectively. It's not really the formula that we want to be in, but I'm very confident with what Malik can prove. You have to be, because at this point it looks like number 15 for us as he wears it. He's going to be under center if Flacco ends up worse than anticipated. I don't see that happening, but again, with that being said, I like to see if we can bring in talent, whoever it may be, to challenge maybe Mallett or make us feel a little bit comfortable. I don't know. But I'm from what I've seen, it is what it is.
Right. And you brought up Dilfer, and I got to tell this story. I already texted you this past weekend about this, but I was at my godson's sister's birthday party, and his family, I grew up with them, and me and this, my buddy Chris, who I'm just going to call out, he doesn't listen to this show, my buddy Chris was asking me about the Ravens. He's not a huge football fan. You know, he kind of keeps up with to it every now and again or whatever, but he just kind of is like, he's a passing fan or whatever. So right. He goes, what's going on with our quarterback? I heard something's going wrong with Dilfer. And I just like paused for a second and I said, did you just say Dilfer? And he just goes, no, not Dilfer. I mean, I'm like, and then I just responded with, what year is it? And he just kind of like put his head down in shame and realized, I'm like, what just happened? Dilfer?
That's amazing.
And then I told him it was Flacco. But the thing is, I was telling him that there's a good chance I'll be going to the game on Thursday. And he told me the last time he was at the bank was for a Turkey Bowl game when he was in high school at Calvert Hall. So he's never been to a Ravens game. I think you and I, we have to take him this year to a Ravens game and show him how it's done.
We must.
All right, so I'll see what he's up to, and if you can get your hand on some tickets, maybe we'll show him what's what at M&T Bank. I mean, you're the guy to do it if he's going to learn. So all right, so let's talk a little bit about it. So we talked about what Ryan Mallett's going to do on Thursday. There's a lot of rookies that have a lot of people interested. Who are going to be the players you're looking out for on Thursday to make an impact and potentially make this team when the regular season approaches?
Well, I'm looking for a couple players, man, and it's on the receiving core. Tim White. Have you seen what this guy can do?
I have not seen this guy, but I keep hearing that name, Tim White. Everybody's talking about him.
You better pull up the Ravens app or something and pretty much look at highlights. The guy, and my buddy Tony, we were going back and forth back when the NFL draft happened, and we signed him with our undrafted free agents kind of deal, and he said, look out for this guy. And I kind of kept watching, and this guy's a bona fide stud. And basically what I've seen is solid play. His hands are decent. I don't see anything but progressiveness from this guy. But, yeah, I would definitely get footage on this guy. Dude, I'm tickled to death from what I've seen so far. I mean, nothing but positive vibes with Tim White.
That's really cool. And the receiving core, that and the running game, to me, are the biggest question marks for Thursday. And that's really got the most openings because Rashad Perryman, like we said, we're going to talk about him a little bit later. We can kind of jump into that while you name the next guy you're looking at. But he hasn't played the last couple days. He's apparently got a hamstring injury. And due to what we saw in his not-so-freshman rookie season, and then to see him get hurt last training camp here, he is hurt again. That guy worries me a lot, especially if we're banking on him and Mike Wallace, and now Macklin, but originally it was Mike Wallace and Rashad Perryman being the 1 and 2 guys. It scares me that there's potentially more problems with Rashad Perryman this season.
I don't know what's up with that, and I definitely want to touch on that, but I also wanted to point out to you, if you go back on the Ravens app, if you have it, I obviously should, any great Ravens fan should. There's an article written on August 2nd. It's entitled Undrafted Ravens Rookie Tim White is a highlight human highlight reel. So just take a look at that article. It basically just shows you everything about him. He actually, and I didn't mention this obviously in this show, but the guy did a backflip in the end zone after catching a touchdown on that open practice. And I know that With that being said, I know Goodell was more lax this year on the touchdown celebrations, so we may see some of that if he makes the team.
All right.
So it's definitely – Trace, the guy's an athletic beast right now. So that's something there. But speaking of Perryman, when I saw that news and he was on the report, very perturbed about that news. I was like, really? I did a big sigh, and I was like, this can't be happening again. I'm like, if it don't work out this year, we got to cut ties with him. I mean, I don't know what else to do. The guy just can't stay healthy. And I mean, I really thought that we saw the flashes last year, and if he can put a complete season together, this guy could be a stud, man. And it's just very disappointing to see, and he just can't stay healthy. I don't know what the issue is, but he better shake it.
I hope he does, but I feel as if he's got what's the word? I guess like Pitta's always scared me whenever Pitta would reach up for a ball and hit the ground, because I was worried about that hip and what would happen. I kind of feel the same thing about Perryman. Every single time he makes a play, I'm always kind of scared if he's not going to get up off the ground, because he's just been hurt so much.
He has, man. And then that's why I fear it could be something bigger and bubble up. Remember how that first injury was just it'll be a 1 to 2 week, and then all of a sudden he ghosted us. He was gone for the year. Like, where did Rashard Perryman go? Anybody see him? And then he tried to come back, but it just didn't work out. And it's just like, are you kidding me? So, and the potential's there. I mean, it was written, if he stays healthy, Macklin, Wallace, and Perryman could be a deadly trio. But we have services of Tim White. We have some great under studies and waiting in the wings. So Perryman can't go. You got him. And I want to bring up this guy as well. Remember how we were kind of mispronouncing his name last week? Remember when I was thinking his name was Quincy and Ibadesia or whatever? I actually got the correct pronunciation, but it was kind of funny because, as we know, Bolden, who was a former Raven, great years with us, he signed with Buffalo this week.
Correct.
So obviously we know him as Q. Well, I started calling Quincy Q too because obviously his name's Quincy. But if you look at his name, and I kind of gave him the nickname Attaboy because his name is Adeboyeyo. That's how you pronounce it. But it's, if you look at it, it's spelled Adeboyeyo. So I was like, I called him Quincy Attaboy. So I was starting to call him Attaboy.
Attaboy.
So, yeah, Attaboy. But it's Adeboyeyo. So you add that on the end. So it's just, all right. I learned that this week. So I kind of brushed up on my new players here.
And he's another wide receiver that's kind of showing some impressive stuff in training camp.
He is. Remember, he had some good showings. So, I mean, these guys are formidable if they can get it done on the field. But right now, translating in practice, that's another thing. You know, you might say, hey, Josh, who are you looking for this preseason game? You know, we talked on Mallow. We want to see what confidence he can bring to the offense. But I want to see number 88, number 14, bring it. And that's what these guys are wearing. Quincy's 88, so Tim White's 14 right now. If my memory serves correct, I'm trying to pull the roster. They change numbers constantly in practice. But I want to look out for these numbers on the field. I want to look out for their play and really see where everything comes falling into place for these guys. But I couldn't be more happy so far from what I can see if Perryman isn't a go or something crazy happens.
All right, and just like last year, I mean, there's a lot of space to fill in that wide receiver position. Steve Smith retired. Kamar Aiken is now with Indianapolis. So that definitely is wide open. Now, the running game is also kind of wide open. There's a lot of talent out there, and we have Terrence West, Danny Woodhead. We have Bobby Rainey. We have who's our last guy? Buck Allen. So there's a lot of talent out there on the running game. Who are you really looking to make a difference and an impact on Thursday? Obviously, Danny Woodhead would be the number one choice.
Danny Woodhead would be the number one choice running game. By the way, Tim White is number six. My apologies.
Six.
I looked up the roster. Six. Looking for the running game's got to get going. We were just talking about this evening, me and my dad, and I don't think the Ravens could be too thrilled with what they have with Dixon going down. West and Woodhead, we were just talking. Woodhead in there, we already know it's probably going to be a passing situation. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
I mean, so you figured if West is in, we're going to run it. Now it could be a decoy, obviously, with draw plays and whatnot. I really hope that Marty Morningwake is careful with that, because if we get vanilla where we're always going to run it with West, we're always going to pass the Woodhead, I'm telling you what, we should all go play the lottery and go to the casino and cash in, because we all know it's coming. I mean, really, you can't be that predictable. If we, you know, fans sitting here recording a podcast can predict a play because we know personnel. Ray Lewis made a career out of it, so did Ed Reed, so... And I'm telling you right now, they cannot get soft on that front. I've heard Ryan Matthews' name up there, Deion Lewis. Been doing some research. They could become available where the Ravens can look at these guys to bring in for some potential talent. But the running game is really going to be a huge, huge problem and a huge focal point going into preseason. I really want to see how it all plays out because they got to step up. I'm confident West can bring Woodhead, if healthy, can bring another great dynamic to the passing game. A lot of great, dink and dunks here and there, kind of what the Patriots used to, but always still do to this day, and just eat people alive with those out of the backfield. I mean, you look at what happened in the Super Bowl, and their running backs just killed it, and they made a big difference, especially in the passing game. So I think right now, as it stands, I'm not really thrilled with what's on the field, but we got to go with what works, and we really got to see how it's going to play out. And that's going to be another thing I'm going to watch really, really closely on Thursday is the running game, big time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I feel as if this entire training camp session that we've been a part of here, all the focus has been on the offense, and you and I really haven't talked that much about the defense, and I think it's due to the fact that they put so much work into the defense over the past offseason. But let's talk a little bit about them. Of course, we have the guys that everybody knows, and we have Lardarius Webb and Terrell Suggs and Eric Weddle, those guys returning as Ravens. But there's a lot of rookies. There's a lot of guys that got drafted to the defense, so what do you expect to see? How are they going to stop the Redskins on Thursday? Because that's who we're up against, and I'm kind of excited to see if it is going to be a low scoring game, even in preseason, because that's what everyone's been saying about the defense, that all these games are going to be so low scoring because the defense is on paper just that good.
And it's going to be close. I mean, how many close games did we play last year or 2 years ago? Of course, too, until we got blown out. You're right. Defense is going to keep closing games. It's going to be hard to judge because this preseason game, number one, typically apart from the first series and the first drives, the starting defense will probably be all on the field that first possession. Whether they go three and out, whether they intercept the ball in the first play, they might be done. Maybe they'll get another series because that could be a one-and-done play. But you're going for the defense. That's all you're going to see out of them. I mean, everybody's going to be thrown in the mix, maybe keep a few players out there. But for Russ' sake and getting the jitters out and being at the first live-action game, not against one another but against another opponent in a controlled environment, a whole game, 60-minute football game time, scoring everything, can't get any much better than that. So I think it's really going to be a real good basis on where you're going to get a real feeling basis on where the defense is going to be. In that first series, I expect it to be close. You never know, because when everything happens and the second and third string teams always in and out, who knows? It can be open, wide open. If someone misses their assignment, it could be a couple touchdowns or long touchdowns here and there. I mean, these preseason games go anywhere from, you're right, that very low scoring affair where it's like snooze fest almost for a preseason game, and they get the 28 to 32 games where it's like, but Harbaugh always says, at the end of the day, there's two goals. They always try to keep healthy as possible, but they also win the game. You know, how many times Harbaugh say, yeah, there's no basis to going 4-0 in the preseason. Who cares? I mean, teams go 0-4 and win the Super Bowl all the time. I mean, who cares? Some teams split 2-2, 1-3, 3-1, whatever way you slice it. The goal isn't to go 0-4. You want to go into season momentum. I mean, I think there's a few years where we're undefeated, then we won our first, like, two or three games. So it felt like since the beginning of the season started, we didn't lose till like, October, felt like. I think we almost went undefeated through the whole month of September 1 year and lost our last game in September. So it's a momentum builder. I mean, yeah, if you lose preseason game number one, games 2 and 3 are the meat and potatoes because, as we know, building up to that third preseason game, which we do play at home on Saturday night, and that's a big, huge night. We'll cover that in the coming weeks because it's going to be a busy, huge night for sports, and the Ravens do play that night, and that's going to be a focal point because Flacco might be back. We might be talking. He might not be playing till week 1 if he's better, but right now he hasn't seen any game action, so we'll put that on shelf for now, but really focusing in on, you know my adage, man. I've always said that the offseason is some of my favorite, if not more than the season. And you're like, Josh, how can you say that? Seasons where all the action is and where it all comes together, but championship teams are built all year round. 365 never stops. Ozzie never stops working. Harbaugh. I mean, these guys get a couple, maybe weeks or days and month of vacation, but, you're always scouting. You're always doing this. There's draft prep. There's this. There's that. But then here's the thing. Preseason is a great thing because we get to sit there and watch live job interviews. This is dog-eat-dog. These are guys fighting for their NFL lives. Jobs are on the line. So you get to see auditions and interviews that guys you might not hear and go, hey, where is this guy? And then I've seen people that play in preseason, and they're not paying out on our roster, but they end up making on somebody else's roster, making a spot, and they shine and go, yeah, I remember that guy. He was in preseason game number two, played in the fourth quarter for the Ravens, didn't pan out here, but he's making a living and career elsewhere, and you may give him a round of applause on that. You want to praise these guys for that. They're working hard. So I think you're really going to see a lot. Everybody jokes about this, but people joke, but it's serious. And they say sometimes preseason games are a lot more better action than the actual regular season games because it's not choppy. The refs aren't involved. It's not the intense. I mean, you get your intensity. You get your rivalry games. The games count versus not. But when you get the people scrapping for jobs, you're getting the best of everybody. And not to say walking fine line there saying, well, I'm not calling people out for slacking during the regular season. But again, when you're fighting for that job, you're going to be hungry and do what it takes. And that's why I love preseason. You get to see it.
So I just realized you said the third preseason game is on two Saturdays. That is the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Yep, it's going to be a huge night. So I'll be going to the game at 7 and be fine. I still got to find out what we got to do, bro, for that big event. I mean, you sent me some ideas. I've been trying to get together with some fellas. My one buddy's thinking about ordering it. But I'm like, dude, you're going to order it. You know, why don't you come out and spend the money with us and we can get a VIP table? So me and you guys, we all got to collaborate, try to find out what we're going to do. I mean, I've been invited to a viewing party. Somebody was doing it on an inflatable projection, but be honest with you, I don't like the color. I don't like the quality of projections, be honest with you. So it's like for something big like that, I'm like, you know, and I heard that movie theaters are actually showing this one too, which is crazy. So there's a lot of options out there. So I don't know what we want to do, man. Definitely it's going to be a busy night because I'm going to be at the game. Obviously, I never like to leave the games early, especially preseason, especially because, you know, I got the season tickets to, like, enjoying the atmosphere. But this might be the one game where this is the stars are going to play most of the first half. So this might be well into the third quarter. I might try to jet out and get my spot unless we have a VIP. But, yep, it's going to be a huge sports night. Ravens preseason game number 3. Mayweather-McGregor fight. It couldn't get any better than that. It's going to be a great Saturday night.
The NFL really should have moved all the Saturday games from that day to Sunday because, come on, this is Mayweather-McGregor. This is yep. Huge. This is. All right, I'm sorry, but this is bigger than a preseason game.
Well, with the Ravens' new boards, why don't they just have everybody stay in the stadium?
Oh, my God, that's genius.
And then why don't we just sit down and watch some of the big screens there with the surround sound? I mean, I wish I could find out how to contact the Ravens to do that because I'm like, why not? Open up the field, let people sit chairs down there or something. Let's just go, man.
That is genius. But, I love that.
I mean, they did it for Phelps during one preseason game or the Olympics last year where they interrupted the game and showed Michael Phelps's swim. So I'm like, hey, why not show the fight later that night after the game's over? I mean, they got nothing to do. They pretty much after that game, they're not coming back till week two of the actual season. So that's like a whole month. So they got plenty of time to clean up and get ready.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, just something to think about. See, if I was running that, yeah, moneymakers. Me and you just got work for the stadium authority. That's it. Good events.
Yeah, and that way we won't kick people out of parking spots who are trying to record podcasts, but that's...
Yeah, exactly. That's another issue.
That's another issue. All right, Josh, have we covered everything for preseason week one?
Preseason week one, I pretty much can turn to the Raven, and he says, quote the Raven, never more. We got it.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Whenever news breaks, whenever we find a cool video, photo, whatever, Facebook Live maybe at the preseason game this Sunday, make sure you go like us over on Facebook, you'll be a part of the group, and you'll be able to see everything, hear everything that we put out. So we do this show for free. You listen and stream and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm getting ready for the new season. I'm listening to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. Preseason week one is here. Couldn't be more ecstatic. It's been a long off season, but I feel like it's been pretty quick. You know, before we know, we were covering Super Bowl 51, our reactions, the draft, mini camps, signings, comings and goings, and everybody, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay because Flacco is going to be back. I know there's a lot of concerns in the air, but get excited. Preseason week number one is here. We get to enjoy some Ravens football against a familiar foe in the Washington Redskins. But as much as we love to have that semi-rivalry with them down our neighbors in the south along the Beltway, it's going to be great football. It's going to be a great Thursday night and enjoying the atmosphere, Brandon. I know you said you're going to be at the game. I'm going to be down at the game, too. Hopefully, we meet up down there. It's going to be great. Whoever is going, hit me up. I'm in Section 517. Please hit me up if you're there. I'd love to sit down and chat with you. There are seats available, obviously, for a preseason game. Usually, there is scattered out. So I'd love to sit down and chit-chat, catch up, talk Ravens football, maybe talk reactions to show, whatever. I'm always available. Love to see everybody down there. Can't wait to be in the festive environment, under the lights, big screens and all. Purple Palace, Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high into the preseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.